Our speaker needs no introduction. Brother Bruce Edwards is going to come now and to share what God has laid upon his heart. Brother Bruce, thank you for what God has given to you this evening.
Thank you, brother. It's a real blessing to be here tonight, and I was quite surprised when the pastor called and asked me to do this. We are so blessed in this pulpit to have such a pastor and the messages that we receive. We are a very, very blessed people. And I had suggested that it would be better if he went ahead and did it tonight, but he suggested that he wanted to hear this message. I have a little confession to make. When I study, I have to study just prior to doing what I'm going to do. My memory is very short term. So therefore, if I prepare for a message before, I cannot just put it in the book, in the archives, and pull it out later and give it, okay? And I think that that's a good thing. I think the Lord would have us prepare diligently. But you know, the Word of God is a wonderful book, and what we do is we pick up enormous amounts of information over time, and all of that comes together to help us in our ministries, doesn't it? And we count on God for that. And I thank the Lord for this time, and I thank the pastor for offering it and allowing me to have it now. But as we begin, the message tonight is God Answers Prayer. We've heard several things about hurricanes today. I do not have a hurricane message, okay? It's a message concerning prayer instead. But as the title is, let's go to the Lord in prayer to begin. Our Heavenly Father, we are so very thankful, Father, for Thy precious Word. Father, we thank You for a place that we can come and worship You, Father. Father, we thank You for the privilege that we know that we can have fellowship with Thee, Father. Know, Father, that You care for each one of us, and Father, that You have a plan for each life in this room. Father, we thank You that You are not just a God that is an abstract type God, but a personal God, one that is there for us to meet our needs, but Father, more importantly, to enable us to serve You with our lives. Father, I pray tonight as we have this privilege of giving this message that You would go before us, that everything that is said and done here tonight would be honoring to Thee, Father, that You would direct everything that is said and everything that is done. Thank You, Father, for Your precious Word. Most of all, Father, we thank You for our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God answers prayer. God does answer prayer, doesn't He? You know, as a child of God, we've all been, I think, through many things in life, and we've all had a degree of challenges in life, and we've gone to the Lord in prayer, and we lift up various things to the Lord in prayer. And we tend to have a level of what we feel is a comfortable level. What I want to do is our scripture reading is going to be from Philippians 4, verses 4 through 13, if you want to follow along. 4 through 13. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care for me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therein to be content. I know both how to abase, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Thank the Lord for this portion of His Scripture. What is prayer? Prayer is simply communion with God, isn't it? You know, prayer is It is a personal communion that, God has opened up for us that enables us to, be able to, commune with God. You know, the Bible tells us to literally pray without ceasing. God wants to have communion with you and I. God looks to have communion with us. You know, John Bunyan was once quoted as saying, that are not a Christian that are not a praying person. He's saying that simply if one is not a praying person, how can he claim to be a Christian? And Luther once remarked, he said, as a shoemaker makes a shoe, and as a tailor makes a coat, so ought the Christian to pray. Prayer is the daily business of Christians. Praying should be as necessary for you and I as food, water, air, everything else. It should be a part of everything that we do in life. You know, basically the principle, I think, of prayer, as we think about what prayer is, we must recognize a few things. We must first recognize in prayer that our God is sovereign. Not as our nations are sovereign with some degree of limitations, but truly sovereign. He is sovereign of all, of every aspect, of everything that there is. God is sovereign. So when we go to the Lord in prayer, we are praying to a God that rules and overrules in everything of life and everything that is beyond even our ability to understand and to know. Our God is an awesome God with awesome power. God also hears our prayers. We know that from the Scriptures. It's amazing when you start to look in the Bible and you start to look at prayer and start to go through. As Brother Dale had taught for many months, I might even been a year or so, on prayer. It's just an inexhaustible area that you can go to see all the different prayers that God has and we can look at in Scripture. But the wonderful thing is we learn is that God hears our prayers. And, you know, sometimes people have difficulty because they say, well, you know, if God already knows the end from the beginning and He already has all this planned out, why in the world do we need to pray? Why do we need to pray? Why is it that I need to pray if it's already going to happen? God's already pre-done everything. You know, our God, I'm not going to say that I have some great theological answer. I'm just going to tell you what I think. God already knows. He does know the end from the beginning. He knew before the world was every prayer that was going to be prayed to Him. He already knew what circumstances were going to be and how He was going to answer and how He was going to move in those lives. So yes, prayer is. God knows before you know that you were going to make those prayers and those intercessions for different needs and things that we have in life. You know, the other wonderful thing is God answers prayer, doesn't He? God answers our prayers. He not only hears our prayers and is concerned about what we had to pray about, but He also actually answers our prayers. But we have to be careful in some of those answers. We're going to get into those in a few minutes. The other thing about prayer is, you know, I've said it myself, and I'm sure some others in here may have as well, is say, you know, all I can do is pray. You ever hit that circumstance in life and you say, you know, all I can do is pray about this or pray for someone or do something like that? And you feel like, well, you know, I'm at the end of my rope. It's the very last thing in the world I can do is pray. It's kind of like it's the last resort. Let me tell you something. There's no greater power in this world for you and I than prayer and what prayer can accomplish. Yes, there's power in prayer, and God loves to answer our prayers. You know, in 1 Ephesians 5, it tells us not only to pray without ceasing, but it also tells us in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know, when we read passages like that in Scripture, I think we need to consider that for just a minute. Notice what it says. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning whom? Concerning Moses? Concerning the great prophets? Concerning the pastors? Who does it say that it's concerning? It's concerning us, you, individually, me and you. God is interested in each life. And each one of us here. And there's a plan that He has for each of us. And in order to get there, we're going to need to be in prayer about it. You know, and as I do the ministry in the afternoon at the nursing home, one of the keys that I try to stress there is because, you know, so many of my people that are there, some of them have very little ability, very few of them have the ability to walk, and a lot of them don't even have the ability to communicate well. They can't even talk. But you know, one of the things that we really stress there is that God still has purpose because they're still here. There's a purpose there. And every one of them can pray. Every one of them can pray. Pray is not just an outward thing that we can do. It's an inward thing too, isn't it? Prayer can be accomplished in so many ways. You know, the Bible tells us about all kinds of different prayers. We have prayers I can't think of the word, but anyway, where we're praying for things for ourselves. There's the prayers that we do for admonition for the Lord, the praising, praying for one another, praying for our own needs, praying for forgiveness of sins. There's just so many things that we can address in prayer. But most importantly, I think that we need to understand that prayer requires something of us. In order to really be one that can pray, we need to first of all recognize, as we started this tonight, that God is sovereign. We serve a sovereign God. God is all-loving. His love is boundless, beyond anything that any of us in this room can ever imagine or even fathom. It is bottomless. He's merciful. He's all-powerful. He's all-great. He knows everything that's happening. He's in control of every circumstance. He can change every circumstance out there. We need to recognize that about God when we go to Him in prayer. Recognize that whatever we pray for, wherever we've come from in the past, because so often we measure things by what we already know. We know that in our lives God has done this for us, therefore God can do this, and we kind of limit it to that. Or it may even be some things that we have heard about God that we believe that He is able to do, and we limit Him on that basis. Let me tell you something. God works in multiples. He doesn't work in addition. God works in multiples. He blesses and blesses and multiplies and blesses and multiplies. But the first thing that really has to happen is a surrendered will. We need to have a surrendered will. We need, as Jesus said, when He said, "Not my will, Lord, but Thy will be done," we need to have that same attitude when we go to the Lord. We need to say, "Lord, not my will, but Thy will be done." When we begin to understand who God is, and we really begin to appreciate who we are in God, then we have a whole different attitude. If you really believe that God is all-knowing, all-powerful, all-wisdom, all-loving toward you, only has what is best for you inside of all eternity in mind, knows all, controls all, why in the world would you want to control it? But we do, don't we? Don't we? You know, and when we surrender ourselves, most of the time, what do we want to surrender? Well, I'm going to give up 99 or 95% or 99.9% of a lot of things, but there's a little bit of it I might want to just keep for myself. There's some of these things I'm better in control of God. He doesn't know what it's like where I work. I mean, how can God know? I mean, we all know Jesus walked on the earth about 2,000 years ago. I mean, they didn't build manufactured housing back then. So how could He possibly know the challenges that I'm going to have in my job? You know? We have these kind of attitudes, not so much consciously, but subconsciously. We are not willing to really let go, to really say, "Lord, Your will, not my will in life," and to allow Him to work. When we begin to have that kind of surrendered attitude and really begin to recognize that God does answer prayer, He is interested in answering our prayers, and He is going to answer our prayers if we will sincerely and in fullness come to Him with a full surrendered will, He will. And that is in many ways. You know, not only in the morning when we get up should we have our time of prayer, and in the evening maybe our family time, having time of prayer. But you know, in our day, in every circumstance of the day, you know, do we have to be in a little private place that we can get on our knees and close a door that nobody can come into and have a time of prayer? That's wonderful. That's a great thing to do in the morning. Most of us have a place we can do that in the morning, right? But you know, during the day when you have all the challenges, you have the little challenges, what do you do? How long does it take to pray? I can pray just like that. I can pray while I'm standing here, can't I? I can lift up whatever it is in my life immediately to the Lord and ask Him for wisdom and for guidance in what's going on in my life, can't I? And you know, God is faithful and true in those kind of prayers. That's what He wants. You know, even Jesus, when we look at Jesus, look what Jesus said in John 5:19. He said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself But what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doth the Son likewise. And also in John 5:30, where he says, I can of my own self do nothing, as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Why do I bring those verses in? It shows us the dependency that we are to have with God. Complete and utter dependency upon God in every aspect of our life. Jesus Christ Himself, the very one that spoke this world into existence. You know, when we look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, we see that the world is literally held together by the power of His Word. Think of that, the power of His Word. He said it and it was. You know, in John, as we've been studying in our Sunday school, we've been looking at John, and I've been starting each study off with this thought. We want to look at chapter 1, verse 1. When you start to study John, remember chapter 1, verse 1. That's the foundation for the book. And what does it tell us? It says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ was God. We need to recognize the power of what those words really mean to us. And Jesus Christ, the very Word, the one that spoke this world into existence, in His earthly existence, in His humanity, He was the perfect example for you and I. And what did He show us to do? In everything He goes to the Father, doesn't He? Based upon His own words here, doesn't He? He's showing us that He is in complete dependency upon God the Father for everything that He does. Yes, God is very, very, very merciful and very powerful to have given us these things. I'd like to just, we're not going to have a great deal of time. As I mentioned before, we could study so many different things in the Bible and look at many of the things that God has done. But we're going to just look at a couple here tonight. We want to primarily look at Solomon. But a couple of prayers that God has answered. And what I would like to point out here is that oftentimes when we pray and God answers, a lot of times we don't even recognize the answer. Or we are so caught up, or we are so astounded that we can't understand it, or we don't appreciate what God is doing. And you know something? God is answering prayers in many ways that we don't even recognize oftentimes. You know, you might have been 3 minutes early, 3 minutes late, whatever. We don't know what the circumstances are, but God did, didn't He? He may have had you 3 minutes early or 3 minutes late for a specific reason. You know, every time we meet somebody in life, we come across and we have an opportunity to meet somebody, there's a purpose in that meeting. There's something there. God has reasons for all of those things. And I think of how many opportunities that I know in my personal life that I'm missing every day because I'm not prepared properly. I haven't really gotten it right with the Lord in a sense that I'm truly walking with Him, that Lord, and in tune to His fellowship, in prayer, being where I should be, that I can be used of the Lord that day as He would have me used. I have gone off. I'm saying, I'm fine, Lord. I'm okay. I don't have any real problems. I'm going to eat tonight. I got a roof over my head. Everything's happening fine. Everybody seems to like me. Life is good. I'm just going to go on down the road. And only when I fall off the shelf and I'm in 1,000 pieces, those of you that heard me teach before, one of my favorite examples is Humpty Dumpty. He falls off, breaks into 1,000 pieces. That's the way life kind of is. When it falls off the shelf and we hit the ground and we're in 1,000 pieces, then we always want to go to the Lord and say, Lord, Lord, I want everything right in my life. I want to be right in Your will. I want to be right where You want me to be. Please pick up the pieces. Put me back together. Put me back on the shelf and let me get started again in life. Isn't that how most of us think sometimes? It's the way that we kind of go through life. But you know, that's not the way God wants it. You know, when we're doing real well in life and things seem to be going, everything is going our way, you know, we should be just as thankful and as much in prayer as we are at any other time. And recognizing that all of that is of the Lord. But you know, what I'm thinking about is in Acts 12, that story of Peter. Y'all may recall in Acts 12 that Peter is in prison. And he's chained, actually physically chained between two guards in prison. Okay, they want to make sure that this desperate man doesn't get out into the public and do any more damage. He's been a real serious threat there, you know. So anyway, they've got him actually chained between two guards. And over in the city, there is this group of Christians praying for Peter, praying that God would deliver him from these chains and from this bondage and get him out of prison and get him back out again. I know most of you know the story. An angel appears to Peter and releases him from his chains, opens the doors of the prison. Peter walks out, in some extent, thinking that he's actually dreaming at one point. Then he realizes he's not. And he goes and he knocks on the door of his Christian friends. Obviously, we would know who our friends were if we had a challenge here. We were all gathered. We might be over at Charles' house or somewhere. We kind of know where everybody was, all there praying for us. And we would be there, and we would know where to go. Well, Peter walks over, knocks on the door. This young lady comes to the door, opens the door, is astonished to see him there, goes running back to tell everybody else. Now, here they are praying for him to be released from prison, right? Here he is standing at the door. She slams the door in his face, runs back, and tells them all, Peter is at the door. What do they do? Well, let me tell you, you're hallucinating. You've seen his angel. He must be dead. They've got all kinds of explanations, except that God answered their prayer. God answered their prayer. Here he is on their doorstep. God answers prayer, doesn't he? And he does it in all kinds of different ways. But another area I'd like us to go look at is in 1 Kings 3:7-14. You may want to go there with me. Most of you are familiar with this. Here we find Solomon. Solomon has just been anointed king, and he prays to God. He prays to God for wisdom. That's his prayer. He's asking God for wisdom. And we're going to see how God reacts. I'd like you to see a couple of things in this prayer that kind of that I thought were certainly worth us looking at. And it says, "And now, O Lord my God, Thou hast made Thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. And Thy servant is in the midst of Thy people, which Thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore Thy servant an understanding heart to judge Thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked for this, for these things. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked for this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thy enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as my father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days." As we look at this prayer, we see some wonderful things. And it makes me think of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the first thing we see in this prayer is we see a recognition of the sovereignty of God. He recognizes that his position is there because of God. It's not because of him. It's not because he was even born in the right family. It's because God put him there. And he understands that. He understands that it is God that has placed him instead of his father upon the throne. The very first thing that he recognizes. You know, you and I, in our positions in life, do we ever think that God has placed us in those positions? You know, if we're fortunate enough to maybe have a really good job or something like that, do we think that God has actually, that it was his hand that put us there? We need to recognize that. God is God's hand in our lives that places us in the positions we find ourselves. Are you a father? God has placed you in that position. A husband? He's placed you in that position. Are you a wife, a daughter, Whatever your challenges, wherever you are in life, God has placed you in those positions. God has placed you in the very family that you're in. That's a wonderful thought when you begin to think about it. Because you see, when we know, again, the sovereignty of God, the wisdom and the power of God, and recognize the place He's put us in life, and all of those circumstances, we understand they're all there to work for our good, no matter what those circumstances is, assuming that we will surrender ourselves to the will of God, doesn't it? That God can work in our life in those circumstances to bring forth whatever it He has for us. But notice, He first of all recognizes His position. He says, O Lord my God, Thou hast made who? This great prince? This great me? King? Is that what He says? He says, servant. Thy servant. He recognizes His position. He is a servant of the Lord God. He also goes on to say, look at his understanding here in wisdom. He says, but I am as a little child. Dependency upon God. He's saying, Lord, number one, he recognizes God has placed him here. We don't read in this prayer where he's saying, God, you placed me in a job I can't do. Does he say that? He doesn't say that, does he? He doesn't try to say, you know, Lord, I'm good, but you know, this is a me and I can't do this and whatever, I need to get out of this, or any kind of false humility. There's another key here that we need to recognize in our own lives, I believe. You know, where God has placed you is where you belong. But we belong there in dependency upon God, don't we? We belong there depending upon God. And notice what we see in those next words. He says, but I am as a little child. In other words, God, I need you. I am as a child. I want to be your child. I want to follow you and seek what your perfect will is. I want everything through you, Lord. I'm looking to you to lead me as a child. I know not how to go out or to come in, he says. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. The next thing is, notice where this is. He doesn't say, Lord, look at my people, speaking of himself, the nation of Israel that I am now in charge of. He doesn't say that, does he? Or you've made me king of. He says, Lord, your people, they're God's people. What he is looking at now, he is seeing himself as a steward, in my mind. He understands that God has placed him here. He has a responsibility. These are God's people. It's an awesome responsibility. And God, I need you to lead because these are your people. This is what I am to do. You put me here. I am to be doing this for you. And I'm trusting you for that. And what does he ask for? He says, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? Oh, what a wonderful prayer. Where is his heart? Where is his heart? Where is he looking? He's looking here, isn't he? He's looking at the things of God. He's looking at how he can do the work that God would have him to do, that he might rightly judge, that the wisdom that he has would be of the right wisdom from above and be able to serve God in a right and honorable way and take care of God's people the way God would have them to be taken care of. You see, we don't see a man looking to himself at all, do we? We don't see a man looking to himself. Notice what it says in verse 10. God, when you pray these things, God can be pleased. You see, it's a personal relationship here. God's happy. God says, and the speech pleased the Lord. He's happy with this prayer of this servant of his. He's happy with Solomon, a man that understands rightly his position that he is to have with God. And God can answer his prayer, can't he? Look at the answer that he gives. He says, because thou hast asked these things and has not asked for thyself long life, neither has asked riches for thyself, nor has asked life of thy enemies, but has asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy word. Notice he says, God's saying very clearly, what you have asked for, you got. It's there. Okay? You have wisdom and you've got understanding. Not only do you have wisdom and understanding, he's going to go on to tell him. He's going to say, you got wisdom and understanding unlike anyone has ever had before you, and unlike anyone is going to have after you. There is none that is going to be, other than Christ, of course, that is going to be in this world with the type of wisdom that Solomon had. It is uncomparable, the wisdom that Solomon had, that God grants him. And then we see that God goes far beyond, doesn't he? He says, you know, because that was the desire of your heart, because your heart was right in the right place, I am going to also give unto thee both riches and honor. And he also promises to give him long life if he will simply walk in his statutes and be in his way. That's right prayer, isn't it? You know, as I read that and I studied it and I looked at it, I thought, who is that? What does that remind me of? Jesus Christ? You know, think of Jesus Christ. Think of the fact that this, everything is literally his. He spoke the world into existence, the universe. Everything is controlled by him, isn't it? It's all his. And yet he humbled himself. As we read in Philippians, if we go back to Philippians and we look in chapter 2, I didn't lose my place. Philippians chapter 2. I always like this. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It's Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Jesus Christ did that for you and for me. What a position, isn't it? What a position. We should be imitating our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shouldn't we? We should see ourselves as servants of the Most High God and seeking to do the things that He has for us. And it says, being found in a fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Yes, we are so blessed. We are so blessed in the power that we have in prayer. One of the other things I'd like us to see, and we've talked a little bit about it. You know, God answers prayer in a lot of different ways, doesn't He? You know, sometimes we pray for things, or we know people that pray. We have so many illustrations in the Bible, and there are answers that are not the expected type answers. And I'll pick a few that come to my mind right off the bat. One is Zacharias and Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother and dad. I've always enjoyed the story of John the Baptist. And I think of this couple. Here was a righteous couple, and I think of the challenges that they must have had in their life, knowing the circumstances of what they were living in those days, all the political challenges, all the challenges within the, quote, the church itself, okay, within the religious community itself, the pressures that would have been on him to do so many different things. And yet he and his wife did not have a child. And the Bible tells us what a righteous man he was, a very righteous man he was. But, you know, they had prayed. They had prayed and they had prayed and they had prayed and they'd asked for a son. They were well beyond the years of where they could have any children. And you know something? God answered their prayer. But did He just answer their prayer? Think of the mighty son that He gave them. Think of it. John the Baptist was their son. That was the one that God had. But I'm sure that they could have had discussions sitting around and saying, you know, God, we've been asking for this for the last 30 years, and God does not hear our prayer. God is not in tune to what our needs are. They could have given up, maybe gone a different way in life, chosen differently, but they didn't, did they? They knew that they could trust God. And I bet you they knew that if God had chosen not to give them a son, that they would have been just as content. For they would have known, just as we're studying here today, that they can be content and God would meet their need
no matter what it was, it would be in His perfect plan, and there would be a will for that. You know, we need to recognize that God works over time, too, sometimes. It may be His desire to answer your prayer right now, and I have certainly had that happen in my life. I've seen things happen in my life at, for lack of a better term, at the speed of light. Just like that. Things go from one direction to another direction with God's hand, obviously, miraculously in it, and knowing that it was His hand. It wasn't any other way it could be done. And knowing that. But you know, God doesn't always choose to do it that way, does He? Another would be, as you may recall, you know, Moses. I think of Moses. You know, here was a man that loved to pray and talked to God a lot. What a relationship he had with God. Y'all may recall that, you know, he almost argued with God at times. He had quite a relationship when he would get with the Lord. You know, when the Lord asked, told him he was going to lead the people, he said, "Well, God, I can't do it. You know, I'm not strong enough. I can't speak right. I need somebody to help me. You got to give me somebody." Doubting God, right? So God did. He gave him Aaron, didn't He? God's good, isn't He? But you may recall also, he was the same one that asked God to show him His glory, right? He said, God, he wanted to see His glory. So what did God do? You know, God answered that prayer, didn't He? He allowed him to see his hinder parts, you may recall. He actually allowed Moses to see his hinder parts. And Moses, a little bit later, you may recall, he asked for permission to cross the Jordan River after he had been denied of God, because of the challenge with the rock and him hitting it more than he should and the little faith challenges there. You know, God answered that prayer, didn't He? What God just told him is the answer was still no. But He did allow him to see that promised land, didn't He? He allowed him to see the promised land. You know, Moses has seen the promised land. He's got a view that none of us have right now, doesn't He? He saw that promised land, but more importantly, he has seen the real promised land, hasn't he? Oh, God is so good, so merciful. And we can think of the Israelites, you know, when they were being led through the desert there and how they, after a period of time, after their disobedience, they were so many years out there, and they lusted for the flesh pots of Egypt. The answer God gave them, He gave them flesh, didn't He? But you know something? He answered that prayer. But in the answer of that, they lost their leanness of soul, didn't they? They gave up quite a bit for that. It was not in the Lord's will. It was not, when they prayed, they did not ask for the Lord's will in their life. They asked for their will in their life, assuming that God, that they knew more than God of what they really needed. We need to be sure that we are seeking the things that God would have us to seek and be willing to trust God for the answers. You know, Martha and Mary also asked Jesus to come and heal their brother Lazarus, didn't they? You may recall that story. I believe it was Martha. I didn't study it, didn't look at it this last time. Probably it was Martha there that ran out to meet Jesus as she heard that the Master was coming. And as she did, you know, she came out, she said, "You know, Jesus, only if you had been here, you could have saved my brother, you could have healed him, you could have made him well. You know, that's a wonderful story to think about. Because what does it tell us? She had faith, didn't she? She believed that Jesus could heal her brother, didn't she? She didn't have any trouble with that. She knew that if Jesus had come when he was still alive, there wouldn't be any challenge there. He would have been healed. It was simple. But she didn't understand, did she? You may recall, he got into a discussion with her. She talks about the resurrection of life. She says, "Oh yes, I know about the resurrection of life and all." Jesus had a resurrection in mind, didn't he? Right then and there of her brother, Lazarus. Yes, the Lord answers prayer, doesn't he? He answers it in his way. If we will allow him to work in our lives, we don't need to allow him because God doesn't need our permission for anything. But we will seek to honor the Lord with our lives and let him work in our lives according to his will and purpose. Those answers can be phenomenal and be used in so many ways. And of course, there's Paul that had asked to have the thorn in the flesh to be removed. And what was his answer? Right? No. But what did God give him in place of that? It was a promise of grace to endure. I absolutely love all of the epistles. I love all the Word of God, but especially the epistles. I love the writings of Paul. I love to study those. There's so much in them that I see. And there's so much that I can relate to at times. I can see the struggles and the challenges of what people are going through in cases and how God is intervening and doing so much in them. Oh, I thank the Lord for Paul. I thank you for his ministry. You know, when I had the privilege of teaching for a while, we were in Romans. One of the things that I used to say and think was how blessed we are. You know, Paul wanted to go to Rome. You know that? Paul wanted to go to Rome. But God had another plan. He had him going somewhere else. And because God had him going somewhere else, and Paul was obedient to that, we have the epistle to the Romans today. He wrote him a letter instead. Isn't that something? Yes, God has purpose in all of these things. We need to be aware that God is working in many ways we don't always understand or know. And I can think right now, and I'm going to go ahead and conclude here, of how God has worked in this fellowship through prayer. There's been so many answers to prayer in so many different ways. And of course, one of the latest, as I can relate to, is the salvation of my father. And I thank the Lord for answered prayer. Now, I prayed for my father for many years. I witnessed to him for many years. I did many things, and so have others through time. But you know, God is faithful. And that witness, that continual prayer, that continual lifting up, and you lifting up in prayer, God had before the world was knew the circumstances beyond who's going to be around my father's bedside. He knew the nurses that were going to be there. He knew every circumstance and how he was going to use those circumstances to bring my father to the Lord. And he did. And he did. You know, there really, in my mind, is no greater miracle than that of salvation. You know, someone will look at the parting of the Red Seas and see this and that, and that's all something. But when we think about the miracle of eternal life that we have because of a price that was paid for us, complete, finished, and done on the cross by Jesus Christ, there is no greater miracle realizing who He is and what He did for you and I. There is nothing greater than that. Nothing greater. And how great it is to see one come to the Lord. I pray by God's grace that I can be used more of the Lord. I pray that the Lord will help me to have the right kind of heart, that I will be a better disciple, better disciplined in my daily life about my own prayer life and seeking to be used of Him and allowing God to work that I can be used in the lives of others as it pleases Him. Every circumstance that happens out there is not by accident. There isn't a single thing, not a single person, not a single situation I go into. I'm going to go into work tomorrow. I'm going to see the same people I do every week, right? Same people, same thing, same place, you know. God knew that. He knew that even before He made the world. Those people that I was going to know and how I was going to be or could be used of Him in that circumstance. But we always need to remember something else. As a Christian, we have volition, don't we? We have choices. We can still make choices. We can choose to honor the Lord with our lives, to serve Him, and to do the things that He would have us, and to grow in grace and truth, and be used as a Paul is in the Bible. Or we can choose to be saved and to go into the world and to allow ourselves to be almost of no earthly good to the Lord, to allow the circumstances of this world to overwhelm us. And you know, if we've stayed with Solomon a little longer, we'll see where, in a sense, the circumstances of the world did to some extent overwhelm him, didn't they? He lost from a great beginning, one that had started so great, had kind of gone the wrong way in so many ways. Yet, I still know that he's saved. I know he's a man of God. I know he loved the Lord. But I know that he could have done so much more with his life if he would have stayed with the path that he had started. But you know, even if we have fallen off that path and have gone astray and gone in the wrong direction, God is faithful and true and merciful. He wants you right now, right where you are, to turn around and start right now. And He will honor that prayer. And you will go forth from that position of this time, this place, and you'll go forth, and the Lord can use each of us in a mighty way in His life, in the things that are there. I thank the Lord I thank the Lord for prayer. I thank you for those prayers that have been lifted for me all of my life. Many of you in here have prayed earnestly for me over many years for different things. And I thank each one of you for those prayers. And I thank the Lord that I know that I also will, by His grace, can continue to grow in grace and truth based upon a personal, intimate relationship with the Lord through His Word and through prayer, and can be used of Him. Thank you. Oh, last one I was going to do is verse 13. It says, He says in verse 13, I just want to bring this to you. It says simply this. It says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We literally can do all things through Christ. He's our strength. We're God. We should be God-conscious, not self-conscious. All of our strength is in God, not in ourselves. Thank you.
Amen. Was your heart blessed?
Amen.
Did you need that? We sure did. And that's a good verse to end on, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Let's bow our heads together. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm sure that God has used this message in a very special way. There's some needs in your heart, in your home. Are you willing to recognize God's sovereignty? Are you willing to be a servant? Are you willing to surrender? A sinful response to the trial is never, ever justified. But if you'll surrender your life to the Lord, that'll unleash His power. Won't you do that tonight? Just take a moment to yield that problem, that concern, at the feet of Jesus. In these quiet moments, Lord Jesus, as we close our service this evening, all of us have laid trials and testings, needs at your feet. Thank you, Lord, that we can know that your sovereign purpose is able to be outworked as our hearts are fully surrendered to you. Thank you for your servant that you've sent to share this message with us tonight. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen.